Friday night, Sunday brunch, it does not matter. Facts are facts, queen. Every cigarette can cut your life short. Find that hard to believe? Then tap the banner for more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings. Welcome to Hour 2.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, July 5th, 2018, and you are listening to Warn Radio. Our study tonight is John's Gospel, Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 6. The Truth Will Make You Free. And now I welcome back the Watchman.
Thank you, Tower.
You're welcome.
We are in John chapter 9. We're going to be talking about the man born blind. Now, when doing a lot of these studies, we're going to find a few overlapping passages from time to time. We've talked about the miracles and how this all works, especially in Acts when we talked about Paul and, Peter and the boys when they were going through miracles and signs and wonders. On our Tuesday program, Wednesday rather, when we talk about the persecuted church and all this other, we do talk about miracles that happen. I mean, bona fide miracles. At any rate, I think that when we talk about religion, when we talk about God, this is a God of love. His Son is love. We are to be love. But we're also to preach the truth. And there are benefits like miracles, signs and wonders, healings. And I think in this, in John 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now see, when we talk about illness, sickness, and things, you know, the issue of sin comes up a lot. And you can trace illnesses to a sin, to the sins of the father, things passed down through the line, because they'll go through multiple generations because of the sins of the father. That's scripture. That happens. They're just out and out attacks by the enemy. But you have to understand that it is a spiritual battle. And that while we have doctors and we have medications that can help you recover, God does heal. I would be a liar if I told you he doesn't. Because he has healed me. I have prayed for people and they have been healed. Tower as well. Tower and I used to pray for people, you know, whenever we met them, and this was a long time ago. We don't get out that much, but if we were in a Walmart, I remember one time in Walmart, and I think it was the candy aisle or the cookie aisle, we prayed for somebody that we knew. We'd seen them in there and they weren't doing very good, and we prayed for them. And God gave her a miracle. And people were passing by, and we stood there, and we were just praying, and, you know, it doesn't matter what they think. And Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now see, that's when we talk about the sins of the father being passed down, or in this case, the sins of his parents. It wasn't anything like that. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now see, when we look at things and see this, we see a direct correlation of God working in the lives of people. Even though, you know, number one, they were Jews. They were there in Jerusalem. I'm assuming this is Jerusalem. Yeah, Siloam. But you have to understand that that's, I mean, if you have a religion, and I remember, and I've told this story a lot, this gal came to our church that because she had cancer, and the church she went to, which was a Lutheran, didn't believe in that. So she came to us to pray for her. We prayed for her. The congregation joined us. I was with the pastor, so we all prayed for her. And she came back a week later, said she was healed. She went to a doctor. There's nothing there. And she continued to go to church there. And there was never anything else said about it. And so he says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work." And for him, the night would come. And the night is when the power of darkness, you can say, gets his way. There comes a time that God allows power of darkness. And that's coming here on earth through the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the beast. That's the night. And if you are working the works of the Lord, when night comes, you will not be able to work. Now, in some countries, the night has already come. They cannot work the works of God, except in secret. If they ever get caught, they'll be in trouble. North Korea is one of them. But you can see this in a lot of other places too. The night, when you can't do things the normal way. And in a lot of areas, you Christians are getting in trouble just walking to church. You know, and they don't bother anybody. They just go to church and they're a target. So they get beat up, they get stabbed, they get killed. Or the women, if they're walking alone, they get raped or they get kidnapped and then raped. And if you're a kid, you know, in Indonesia, there are three young Christian girls that went to school. And they came back and the authorities found all three of them with their heads cut off. And the Muslims had cut off their heads because they didn't like their women, any women, going to school. And this was years ago. So make no mistake about it. For the Lord, there's coming that time. And he even told people, says, while the light is with you, you know, here I am, the light is here now. But it's interesting because in John chapter 3, he talks about this, that men won't come to the light after John 3:16. There's a couple of verses, he says, in that context, that they will not come to the light because they love darkness. And that's really what we see in the world. And while we say, is everybody going to get saved? No, everybody's not going to get saved. And That's the way it is. God gave them a choice. They're going to choose darkness. That's what the Lord said. That's the way it is. You don't like it? I can't help it. I didn't make it up. I mean, it's in Scripture. Read John 3:16 and go down about five verses. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So there's the light. So the night is coming, but he is the light of the world. But there's coming a time that even the light of the world has to go to the cross. Now see, when he comes back again as a greater son of David, as a warrior king, he's going to put down the enemies of God. He isn't going to go to the cross. The night is not going to come because he's going to end the night. The night for us is coming one day. And I mean for Christianity, for all of mankind. It's coming in the guise when the son of perdition comes, the beast. But Christ will come and put it to a close and put all enemies under his feet, finally, completely, the last being death and hell. But while he's walking the earth, while he's confronting the Jews, while he's healing, he is the light. And so he says, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, washed and came seeing. Now this kind of reminds me of Elijah, miracle, and Naaman, who he told to cleanse in the river. He was ill and dipped in the river and came back and his face was clean and everything. He didn't have the plague that was on him. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Well, you can't mistake him. He's been in one place, he's blind, he goes to the same place, and he begs. Everybody, you know, they see him beg, they throw him whatever. And some said, this is he, others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, how were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go wash, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I know not. And I find this interesting here, as with all of it. Okay, we're talking about a miracle. You know, human understanding cannot come to grips. A guy that had been blind from birth. And this is the very man that the Pharisees were telling Jesus he had a devil, you know. They thought he was crazy. They couldn't get through to him. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. But the one thing that they couldn't do miracles. All they could do is argue with him, call him, that he had a devil, and they couldn't deal with it. They planned to kill him. And see, this is the problem you have. I mean, the testimonies, even overseas. You know, in Hindu areas or Muslim areas, where the gospel is really spreading right now, there are believers doing miracles and signs and wonders simply because they love people, they're filled with the power of God because they know the Lord, and they just pray. They're always asking, you know, Jesus will heal you. And then suddenly the Muslim gets healed, or the Hindu. And there's a miracle and sign and wonder. Well, see, the imams ain't doing any miracles. Neither are the Hindus. The Pharisees ain't doing any miracles. The high priest ain't doing any miracles. You know, for us, a miracle is like the Miracle Network, raising money from a bunch of Americans and reaching a goal. You know, a miracle is going to a doctor and having him be able to fix you. But see, in our world, a miracle is when man says it's impossible, that's when God begins. And see, as long as we limit who this God is, the miracles don't occur. And so you have this miracle. You have this guy that could not see. He was blind. You have those around that saw that it happened. And you had others that knew him and wanted to know what was going on, how he could suddenly see. He tells them it doesn't make sense. Nobody can do that. But see, the thing of it is that the Jews had a problem. They had the same problem with the apostles. Because the same anointing on Christ flowed through the apostles, and there was miracles and signs and wonders. And they were preaching Jesus when Jesus was gone. He was ascended to the right hand of the Father, and Jesus was still preaching, but he was preaching through his disciples. And miracles were still coming in the name of Jesus through his disciples, his apostles. And today, the same thing's happening. The devil's maddered in hell right now. There's many people in other religions that are maddered, and you know what? Because Jesus is preached. Miracles and signs and wonders happen, and as we get into the day of darkness, the night time when no man can work, that does not mean God is not working. Okay? It may be the time of night, and man may not be able to work, but God can work. His angels can work. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. One of the things he prayed later on was, I pray thee, Father, that you would not take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil, meaning the devil. There is hope. When man can't do nothing, God can. I don't care where you're at. And by the way, you need to be praying for those in bonds. And when you're praying, you pray for those who are in a dark, dank dungeon, locked up and forgotten. You pray for them because they're out there. Pray for those in bonds as though you yourself were there. So you have all these people standing around. They're all discussing it, don't understand it. And the guy's, you know, he don't know. He's glad to be seeing. What's the big fuss? Leave me alone. I can see. I want to walk around town. I want to see what it looks like. I want to go over here to the market. I want to pick something up. I want to show people that I can see. I want to go home, see my folks. I want you to leave me alone. No. They drug him. It doesn't say. It said they brought him. Yeah, they brought him, all right. Do you think he wanted to just follow everybody around and get... It's like, what did you do wrong? I didn't do nothing wrong. I just got healed. Okay, well, you're going to have to spend a night in jail. Why? Because we don't like it. In this case, they brought him before the Pharisees. Oh, and they know everything, of course. They called Jesus a fool of the devil. They couldn't understand a word, but they're going to bring... See, they were the righteous. They were the legal. They were the biblical. They were the God representatives there at the time. Do you know any of them around? How about Khomeini over in Iran? He's having a tough time, them guys over there. See, man can set himself up as God, but there is a God who is God, and he sent his son, and his son is the one that's been anointed, and he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty. He's going to cast down all these imposters and all those who rejected the offer that God have because of his love. So they're going to the legal keepers, the Pharisees, who don't even keep the law, Jesus said. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Oh boy, that's it now. We're screwed now. Why did you do it on the Sabbath day, Jesus? You're supposed to be the Son of God. What's the matter with you? Didn't you know that Christ created everything? He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And as Lord of the Sabbath, he can do pretty much anything he wants to. Because he does it perfect. He does it in love. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay upon my eyes, I watched and do see." You know, it's not hard, guys. I mean, I don't know how it happened, but all he did was put clay on my eyes, I wash and do see. I mean, it's the same clay down here. It's not holy clay. It's people go by it all the time. It's just clay. Clay was the tool and the vehicle for the faith. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. Do you see any sinners around? Well, I can give you a hint. What about the high priests? What about the Pharisees, the Sadducees? Okay. Can any of them do a miracle? And you all keep Sabbath, but you can't do any miracles, all right? And if it was up to you, you'd have let this guy stay there, blind. Oh, but they would tell you that, well, we would have just prayed for him on some other day besides the Sabbath. Why did he have to do it on the Sabbath day? There is a reason why he did it, because he is Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord over all. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He created all things. There was not anything created or made that he did not make. And he triumphed openly over all principalities and powers. And there was not one single power, principality, enemy, or anything he didn't triumph over. And he made a show of them openly, arose from the dead. And he was seen alive by many infallible proofs. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's coming back glorified. And even today, there's testimony of him appearing all over the world. Miracles, signs, and wonders, and God moving. And people who were blind, now they see. Thank God. Now, of course, you can choose the kind of God you want. I mean, you can just say, well, that's just a bunch of nonsense. You know, God doesn't do things like that. I mean, we've thrown that out a long time ago. Our scholars told us that it's just not true. Yeah, they're like the Pharisees. They just determined that, you know, you can't do things like that. See, man determines it. Who's man? The scripture does say, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him?" Yeah, who is man, God, that you decided to redeem? Look what they did to your son. Look what they do to each other. But yet God so loved them that he sent his only begotten son. He so loves them that he allows you to have the sun and food and clothing and air to breathe and everything else. He gives you time on this earth to repent. He gives you his mercy, his love, his grace. He'll forgive you if you'll ask it. And he just says, "Come unto me," and you won't even do it. So there was a division among them, and, you know. They said unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou him, he that opened thy eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." What'd you expect him to say? Because he's a Jew. He knows what happened in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's two things that the Jews in the time of Israel did. They feared God and they feared the prophets. You didn't mess around with Samuel. You didn't mess around with Elijah. Jeremiah would challenge the socks off you, scare the wits out of you with what he said. He wouldn't back down. He kept preaching it. Yeah, the prophets. Isaiah. When God called a prophet, you didn't mess with that prophet. Because that prophet had power. You knew he had power. And you had better shut your mouth. You'd better understand what's going on. Because, well, you don't mess with them. Yes, sir. Could call fire down on the troops. You didn't mess with him. So this guy, he knew. He's a prophet. Got to be a prophet. And that was one of the offices that the Lord fulfilled, was prophet. He was a priest. He was a king. He was the Son of God. He was the Lamb of God. He was the atoning sacrifice. He's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now you see, the Jews, the Pharisees here, were the key to the religion in the whole area. See, the Lord took on them head on. Nobody in the place, if you were just some Jew hanging out, you know, in the Roman Empire at the time, you didn't challenge the Pharisees. You didn't challenge the temple and the high priests. Because they can make your life miserable. You'll never get in the temple. They ban you from it. Anybody wanted to know about God, these were the people to come to. This is the religious establishment of the day. So I'm telling you, beware of the religious establishment of our day. I'm not telling you they're all going to hell, but you need to wake up and you need to discern and you need to take care of you and your family. And get in the Word of God, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, not flesh. You can have friends, but you seek the Lord. So the parents show up thinking, oh no, we're in deep doo-doo now. Because these Pharisees ain't going to bother talking to you unless there's an issue. And if there's an issue and you get up before them and if you are in trouble with them, you're screwed. Whatever they say, you got to do it because they're, even in the Roman Empire, they were the word for the people. Of course, you can always leave, go to another portion. That's what Paul did. He was almost killed in Jerusalem. By the time he got to Rome, the people that accused him disappeared and he was meeting with other Jews in Rome. He even wound up appearing before Caesar, wound up in-house guard, but he spent 2 years there teaching the Word of God freely in the house of Caesar. That's how the Lord works. He can find a place for you. And they ask him, saying, speaking to the parents, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not, or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, and he shall speak for himself. Yeah, see, the issue of how powerful it was. Religion can be very powerful. Groups, heretical groups, cults can be very, very powerful, very, very dangerous. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, meaning Christ, you know, Jesus, that he should be put out of the synagogue. I call it a temple, but they call it synagogue. That's what it is. It's not like the temple, you know. But there was a temple there, the second. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise, we know this man is a sinner. Well, they're trying a different approach here. Because they know that he likes God. You know, that this guy would praise God. He's a Jew. He would naturally give God the glory. But see, they had to throw in there, we know this man is a sinner. Well, see, the guy didn't pick up on give God the praise. He just picked up on the part on, and he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. I love this answer. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now see, that's a simple testimony from a simple man who was not one of those with a theological degree. He had a word of testimony. And that is, I was blind, and I see. I don't know if he's a sinner. I'm not a Pharisee. I was just, you know, he's telling him, I was blind and I see. I, you know, don't ask me if he's a sinner or not. I don't know. So here they go again. Then they said unto him again, well, what did he to thee? You know, what kind of mysterious potion? Maybe he had a doctor, you know. Maybe he went to the future and grabbed one of our preeminent doctors that can operate on eyes and brought him all the way back and put new eyes in after an operation which he did not know. You know, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? You know, at some point this gets irritating. At some point you'd say, listen, okay, I don't like you people. I like the synagogue and I like the Torah, but you people can leave. I'm done. I'm ready to go. I've told you already, he says. And you did not hear. You don't even listen to me. Why are you asking me? Now see, we read this in the Word of God, but you know, I mean, if I was standing there and this happened to me, I'd be really, really excited. You know? And I'd be really getting really irritated at these religious Pharisees whom everybody feared, and I knew what happened. They don't want to listen. They don't like this guy that did it. But I like him because he healed me. That's what this guy's going to be thinking. He's, hey. And so he says something that irritates him. I mean, you know, they ought to know better than to ask this guy this. Because he's not a theologian. He's not trying to please them with his answers. He's just being honest. The Jews were manipulative here. The Pharisees, they wanted to manipulate him and get him, kind of like some of these sneaky lawyers you see on TV, you know, wanted to manipulate him to give this answer. So he answered them, I've told you already and you did not hear. So he says this is great. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you be also be his disciple? I love that. You know, they hate the fact that Jesus did this miracle. They hate the fact not only did he do a miracle, I mean, it was really a miracle, and they're looking at the guy that they did it to, and there's no explanation except Jesus did it. He put mud on a guy's eyes, told him to go wash, and he came back seeing. Now, how does that help? What happens? Well, he must be a sinner. Sinners don't do that. I've never seen one sinner that could do that. You see, this really was... So, then they reviled him. See, they couldn't get to the truth, so now you start cursing him, calling him a dummy, insulting him. Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, yet he hath opened my eyes. And this is the guy that has, he's not a theologian, but he's about to give a good answer. Yes. You know not from whence he is, and yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. He did teach them, but they didn't want to hear. This is a great answer. What's the matter with you people? You're around here in the temple all the time. You know, you walk around, you talk to God, you keep all the laws. How come you don't know this guy? I mean, since the beginning of the world, I've never heard of anybody opening the eyes of the blind. I certainly have never seen a sinner do it. If this man wasn't of God, he could do nothing, so he must be of God. So they get all mad and said, are you trying to teach us? We're Pharisees. We know the law. We keep it. We're holy. We know this God. So they threw him out. Yeah, okay. You know God. Okay, whatever. So then this gets to the Lord, and it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now see, this whole thing was carried out for one purpose. And this is the amazing thing. You know, the Lord came to open the eyes of the blind. You know, I was raised a Methodist, but I had to get out of the church. In order for the Lord to wake me up and bring me to the point I needed to be. You see, it's more than just beggars sitting by the road that are blind, that are really blind. There's people every day. Paul the Apostle, who was Saul, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, was one of the top theologians and Pharisees of his day. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He persecuted the church. He was blind. He could see with his eyes, but he was blind. And it wasn't until he was knocked off his high horse on the road to Damascus, he wound up blind for 3 days, that he wound up seeing. This is the way God works. He knows how to wake you up. And this is an object lesson. Him sitting by the side of the road, everybody passes him by every day and say, poor guy's blind, let's give him a shilling or a shekel. Every day, sat there for years and years and years. Could never see. So the Son of God comes, and it wasn't because his parents had sinned or nothing else. It's for the glory of God. See, he had just got done in the previous chapter telling the Jews that unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He tells his disciples this is for the glory of God. And for the glory of God, it's not just a miracle of healing this guy of blindness. It is healing this guy of the blindness that prevents him from being redeemed. Do you believe on the Son of God? He says to him. And I can see Jesus standing there. He puts one arm on his shoulder and looks right into his eyes. You can see his piercing love and this question. Do you believe on the Son of God? He's not a theologian. He looks back at him. He's already confessed that he thinks he's a prophet, so he knows. So he calls him, he says, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? I don't know. He had stood before the righteous of his day, the Pharisees. He had been in the synagogue. They questioned him like he was the enemy. He didn't know. Who is the Son of God today? Do you know? I know. And I know him. And I know his Father. And I know his Spirit. But I didn't at one time. See, the testimony of John is not just about a good book. You can find a good book anywhere. It's about a good book that can save your soul. So he looks intently into the Lord's eyes and asks him that question. Jesus removes his arm and stands up and looks at him again. And he says, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And the guy said, Lord, I believe. He falls down and worships him. Because at that moment, his belief, just like Abraham's, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. This guy, this beggar, this blind man, the one the righteous Pharisees threw out of their synagogue. And for all you people that believe that the church building is more important than the truth of God, woe unto you. He believed. He found the truth. He had been blind, but he had been spiritually blind. And I can see the Lord turning around to the disciples who were there, and he said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And he was directly speaking to the Pharisees that issued the judgment on this poor guy. This poor guy who didn't have what the Pharisees had. He didn't have their education. He didn't have their ability to manipulate and get into the synagogue and the temple all the time and do everything that they did and keep all the law. He didn't do all that. He just sat by the road. He's blind, couldn't do nothing. Barely making an existence. How many of the Pharisees even gave him a nickel or anything? Or if they did, was it to be seen of men, which is what the Lord said the Pharisees did? So right away, that statement got to the Pharisees. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Yeah, you are. Are we blind in America? Yes, we are. We've had Christianity in this nation for a long time. We got used to it, got used to people preaching the gospel. We got cold to it. We developed a hardened conscience. And then we got a religious spirit about us. And Paul talks about that. Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. See, the Pharisees did think that they saw and they knew the truth. Instead of repenting, they kept their sin. And you can be as religious as all get out, and your sin will remain. There's only one way, through Christ. But you have to continue in His Word in order to be His disciple. And then the truth. You will know the truth. And that truth will set you free. I think this is so pertinent to today. I feel for this guy. You know very well, all he wanted to do was go and tell people. He just wanted to look around. Isn't that what you would have wanted to do? You'd been blind from birth. Wouldn't you want to go see, like, the Mount Olives? Or go see the river? Or go look at the Pool of Siloam again? Isn't that what you would have wanted to do? That's what I would have wanted to do. Would I have wanted to be dragged into the synagogue and beat over the head by a bunch of religious Pharisees because they didn't believe? And kept asking and asking and hammering and hammering? It's like you were interrogated. No, I don't want to be interrogated. I don't want to be here. I want to be out. And I want to walk around free. I want to see with my own eyes. I have never seen Jerusalem, you can hear him say. But see, even that wouldn't have set him free. See, did you notice here that the Lord went and found him again? The Lord says that he leaves the 99 and goes after the one that's lost. This was the one that was lost. He can see. He thinks he's fine. But the Lord is going to find his lost sheep because he is going to bring him into the fold with the others. So he finds him. He could have said, well, the issue is not just you seeing. The issue is you seeing. He wouldn't have understood that. And in America, we can see, we can hear, but yet we do not hear and we do not see. And our seminaries, Bible schools, many of them are pumping out rubber stamp pastors and Christian leaders. Hirelings. How many really know the Lord? And so the Lord had to find him. Because he wanted him to really see. He found the Son of God. You see, the thing of it is that many of the Muslims don't believe. And they don't believe Jesus, Yahshua, was the Son of God. But many of the testimonies that's coming out of the Middle East and around the world is Muslims who did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God who now believe because of miracles, signs, and wonders and the testimonies of those who are bringing the truth to them. See, we sit over here in America and we fight all this stupid nonsense every day. And we fight it in the news about Trump. About all the other political nonsense that's going on. But you see, the people that hate Trump love abortion. They love their sins. America isn't falling because of Trump. Or Obama. It's falling because of sin and our rejection of the Son of God. And your America is not going to live without the blessing of Almighty God. And right now, you don't have it. Many will tell you that it's there. It's not. That doesn't mean God won't bless and take care of his people, those who know him. But the tough times for this nation are not over by a long shot, and they're not tough because of Trump. They're tough because of sin. Religiosity, and the failure of the churches to preach the truth, the gospel truth. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Let this word enter into the hearts of your people and feed them, save them, redeem them, encourage them, comfort them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. Remember, tomorrow night, sound the shofar. And we're going to be in Hebrews tomorrow night.
Hello, that'll be exciting.
You know, both Hebrews and John deal with the Messiah. These are really two studies that reveal the Son of God.
I know, I like him. I think it's exciting. I look at the way he talked to the people, the Pharisees, and I'm sure he really made them angry. Which is kind of, I think that's amusing.
It is.
It's funny.
And he was just telling the truth.
Yeah.
He couldn't argue in theological speak. He just told them the truth.
Yeah, and they're heady, high-minded, haughty.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not going to understand.
Yeah.
They don't want to understand.
Well, you see, you can see the love of the Lord going after him. And I can just see him, as I said before, putting his arm on his shoulder, looking at him, you know, just looking right into his eyes. Do you believe in the Son of God?
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't even look around. He looks back at him.
And that guy was captivated, looking into his eyes and seeing the love that he had for him.
Who is he, Lord, that I can believe? He that speaks to you is he. Lord, I believe.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yep. But even in the Gospels, you've got to look close.
You do.
You know, a lot of this just becomes words if you don't read it with the anointing of God. The anointing of God and the Spirit of God makes the Word of God alive.
Amen.
My words are spirit and they are life. And we sent them out tonight.
Amen.
You know, it just... I'd have loved to have been there.
Oh, I know. That would have been amazing.
You know? But, see, you think of the emotional thing. Peter and all the boys, you know, they... And the women that followed him. You know, they saw what he did. They knew who he was. And then to see him go to the cross and not fully understand that. That would have crushed him.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
When Peter denied the Lord, he was crushed.
Yeah.
And that's exactly when the enemy attacks.
Makes you feel terrible, worse than you already do.
Yeah. And we're going to come to that. And there's a message in there. So with that, we're going to have to say goodnight, folks.
Okay. Good night, everybody. And thank you for joining us. Whenever you do, please join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar and Hebrews, Revelation of His Son, Part 7, Substance of Faith. We love you. We just appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We'll see you tomorrow night. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install sheds, bath remodels, window treatments, heating and cooling systems, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.